What's up, everybody? Rise up. Today is Thursday, October 2nd. Also National Custodial Workers Recognition Day. They say a tidy space helps us keep a tidy mind. We owe so much to the people who help keep our schools, offices, airports, grocery stores running smoothly. So be sure to give them a high five, fist bump, or hard hands today. Let them know I appreciate you. A lot of news to get to, not a lot of time to do it, so let's get to it. We begin in our nation's capital of Washington, D.C., where the federal government has shut down for the first time in more than 6 years. It comes after Congress failed to reach a funding deal to keep the government open by their October 1st deadline. It is unclear exactly how long this shutdown could last, as lawmakers on Capitol Hill remain divided on key parts of a deal to end it. What is clear, however, is that many government services and workers could now be affected. We're talking potentially even the folks who deliver your mail. Let's bring in our Betsy Klein for a closer look at what and who this shutdown could impact. Hi, Betsy.
Hi, Coy. Well, the U.S. government officially ran out of money when the clock struck midnight on Wednesday, and that means that all the money the government spends every single day on programs affecting all Americans has been shut off. Now, the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives are working around the clock to reach a deal to fund the government, but there's still enormous disagreement on how to get that done. When the government is shut down, nearly 3 million federal workers immediately stop getting paid, and that puts an enormous burden on many federal workers, especially those who live paycheck to paycheck. Now, some of those workers are deemed essential, which means they have to work without pay, and some are furloughed, which means they are forced to take a break from working. Each department and agency has its own set of plans and procedures detailing who's essential and who isn't. Now, that can vary from shutdown to shutdown, but here are some examples. U.S. servicemen and women are essential workers, so they'll keep working without pay. Still, a shutdown could put national security at risk, since many of the civilian workers who support them will be furloughed. And while TSA agents and air traffic controllers are all essential workers, many of them can't afford to work without pay. The last time there was a shutdown back in 2019, there were major delays at airports across the country because many had to call out sick just to find other ways to make money. And the court that provides marriage licenses in Washington, D.C. isn't processing those licenses right now, so you can't get legally married in the nation's capital during a shutdown. National parks are staying partially open. Open-air sites and trails will remain accessible to the public, but visitor centers and parks that require staffing, like the Washington Monument, are going to be closed. In past shutdowns, we've seen those surrounding facilities closed with trash piling up and toilets overflowing. All Smithsonian museums and the National Zoo have enough money to stay open until October 6th. A shutdown will also not affect zoo animal care. Those employees are essential. And there are lots of other impacts to services we all depend on. The key question now is how long this will last and whether Congress can come together and reach a deal. The last time this happened was back in 2019, and it lasted 35 days, Coy.
Thank you, Betsy Klein. Next up in weather news, a rare pair of hurricanes spinning side by side in the western Atlantic Ocean. Hurricanes Humberto and Imelda churning off the east coast of the United States. Without making landfall, their combined presence is being felt. This was in North Carolina's Outer Banks region. Pounding surf and coastal erosion from the storms caused at least 6 homes to collapse. Fortunately, no one was injured. The people who took these videos say they believe they're all vacation homes. The storms are expected to continue fueling treacherous conditions up and down the coast this week. The storms have gotten unusually close to each other. At one point, they were about 450 miles apart, one of the closest pairings of named storms on record in more than 50 years. Humberto is actually pulling Imelda away from the U.S. coast, but as of this taping, Imelda is expected to make a direct hit on the island of Bermuda just days after Humberto brushed by it. Pop quiz, I shot. Flip-flops are believed to have originated in which ancient civilization? Greece, Egypt, China, or Rome? Cleopatra coming at you. If you said Egypt, you are correct. Archaeologists have found sandals made of papyrus and palm leaves that look very much like today's flip-flops, dating all the way back to 4000 BC. For our next story, some futuristic flip-flops. They're 3D printed in one single piece. No glue, no stitching. Totally seamless. No soul searching required. The best part, they're fully recyclable. When they wear out, you don't throw them away. You just reboot your footwear. And if the printer jams, well, that's a sandal scandal. Take a look.
Could this flip-flop offer a glimpse into the future of footwear? For decades, shoe designs have changed dramatically, from high-tech running shoes to whatever it is those may be. But the way they've been made has stayed relatively the same, stitched, glued, and mass-produced. Well, now that might all be changing due to 3D printing. Havaianas, one of the most popular sandal brands in the world, and Zellerfeld, a German startup, are unveiling what they're calling the world's first 3D printed flip-flop.
In the future, you will not go into a shoe store anymore, because what will happen is, whatever shoe you are buying on Zellerfeld.com, they all fit the same. And you buy a boot, we send you that boot, it's custom fitted to your foot, we take two pictures of your feet and we can custom fit it to you, you give us feedback, and with your feedback we can make your next flip-flops better.
Unlike traditional shoes, which uses different materials and a lot of manual labor, advocates of 3D printed technology say not only can this simplify production, but it can cut material waste.
Like a traditional shoe, like a typical sneaker has like 200 to 300 manual labor steps. Whenever you take a new design to the production crew, they have to be taught. They need to make the stitches differently. They need to make the glue parts differently. Here, it's all just one design. We call it print, wash, ship. And this is what excites us, because all of a sudden, for whatever shoe you have, no matter if it's a flip-flop or a work boot, it's the same process. We have only one process, only one material, one to rule them all.
Like a lot of innovations, 3D printed shoes could become the future and reshape the industry. Well, yeah, they could just fade away into the background. For now, they stand as a striking reminder that with technology, even the most simple products can be reimagined.
For this next story, bear with me. Big news about the big brown bears we told you about last week. We officially have a winner of this year's Fat Bear Week. After days of intense earth sign bracketology, 32 Chunk takes home the top prize at Alaska's Katmai National Park. The 1,200-pound brown bear blew the bears he was battling out of the water, winning his first ever Fat Bear title by more than 30,000 votes. The big fella really packed on the pounds to prepare for hibernation. He's a picture-perfect example of one who partakes in the plentiful provisions of the park's thriving ecosystem. And get this, he's still chowed down with a broken jaw. I can barely imagine. Park rangers say he likely broke it in a fight with another bear. Despite the injury, Chunk kept chomping. Berries, roots, grasses, and salmon tipping the scales and topping the podium.
Even despite those serious injuries, a broken jaw. I mean, people were worried that he would die. And he's still so fat.
If that's not the definition of a champion, I don't know what is. Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, an amazing underwater discovery bringing history to life. A salvage operation in Florida recovered more than $1 million in gold and silver coins from the famed Spanish Treasure Fleet shipwreck. 11 Spanish ships carrying more than $400 million of treasure were lost at sea in a hurricane in 1715 off of what is now Florida's aptly named Treasure Coast. Crews have been working for years to recover and preserve the goods, and this season's haul is seriously impressive. More than 1,000 silver coins, 5 gold coins, and golden artifacts. But the crew says the most valuable part of the find wasn't the loot itself, but what it may help them learn about this historic disaster.
The best way I can describe it is as if when you lose something that you really, really like, and you've almost come to terms with it just never being found again, and then all of a sudden it shows up. It's just such an awesome feeling.
Parts of the historic find will now be put on display for the public in a bid to help showcase the famed shipwreck. You are all my treasure. So now it's time to show some love. Mrs. Jernigan and Mrs. Kaufman at Briar Vista Elementary in Atlanta, Georgia, thank you for being awesome. Y'all are so cool, observant, and youthful. You give me life. And this shout out goes to all my peeps at Bell Middle School in Golden, Colorado. Mr. Garza, I salute you, sir. This is your last week teaching there. And students, I just want you to know that your boy, Mr. G, wrote my team a very thoughtful email about how proud he is of his students, who are kind and hardworking, and how you give him hope for future generations. Rise up. That goes for all of you out there. Remember, you are more powerful than you know. Keep shining bright, sunshine. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.